You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 2012 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is the first class in a series given by Brother Marco Dondero on the subject, The Prism of Judgment and Wisdom's Rainbow. This class is titled, Seven Types of Judgment and Seven Colors of the Rainbow.
Well, good morning, brethren. We can put a little more gusto in that. Good morning, brethren. There we go. All right. Who saw the rainbow? Who saw, present tense, this morning? Nobody? It's as plain as day. Nobody. We just read about it. Seven things: virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly love, brotherly affection, and love. Seven items, seven colors of the rainbow. There it is. It's a web, it's a fabric in which the Father has weaved his rainbow. Now, you all know when you see that rainbow, what do you feel?
Happiness.
Okay, what else?
Peace.
What else?
Lord.
Yeah. What did you say? Someone over there? I'm sorry. And I think it's my hearing, Brother Darren. Oh, yes. Excitement, right? And we said, oh, look at the rainbow, right? Never ceases to get that same reaction every time, no matter how many times you've seen it, right? Yeah, absolutely. There's a reason for that. It comes from the Father. One of his best works. Now, I don't claim to be an expert in anything, and not perfect as well. But, and I'm also a right brain kind of thinker. So what I put out here today is what I call the beginning of a conversation. It's the beginning of a conversation that I think we should have in the brotherhood. As I was talking with Darren earlier when we first arrived, he said, well, gee, it sounds a little bit controversial because we're talking about judgment. And I said, we've talked about judgment and its controversy for 200 years. I'm not going there. It's been done. We don't need to rehash that. I'm going to focus in a different direction. What I think is a direction that the Father has meant for us to go into a long time. And we just haven't gotten there. And again, what I say to you is not going to be perfect. It's not all going to be stitched up just exactly right. It may not even be organized. And some of you people who like everything go boom, 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 it's not going to go that way. But I'm hoping that each day you will draw something that will click your mind, that will make connections which you have in your mind to the scriptures that are there because you read them every day, right? And that's one of the reasons why we should read them every day, because they are there meant to click the mind, to turn it on when it needs to be done. So let's go for a moment. We're going to go to the breastplate of judgment. Exodus chapter 28. Verses 15 through 21. Exodus 28, 15 through 21. You shall make a breastplate of judgment in skilled work, like the work of the ephod you shall make it, of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet stuff, and fine twined linen. You shall make it. shall be square and a double span, its length and a span, its breadth. And you shall set in it four rows of stones. A row of sardius, topaz, and carbuncle shall be the first row. The second row, emerald, sapphire, diamond. The third row, jacinth, agate, and amethyst. The fourth row, beryl, onyx, and jasper. Now, within that, what's called as breastplate of judgment are the colors of the rainbow. Every color is represented there. Okay. Now, I'm not going to attempt to show you which color matches which, but I know that every color is there. Every hue is there. What's interesting is when we look at this same chapter in verse 29 and the way it's written. So Aaron, who is the priest, the high priest, and is going to wear this breastplate of judgment, shall bear the names of the sons of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goes into the holy place to bring them to continual remembrance before the Lord. So it's upon his heart that he wears this for continual remembrance. Interesting. And we're going to read it later on, but you know the covenant of the bow, the rainbow, to Noah. It shall be as a memorial, forever, a covenant forever of remembrance. The Lord will remember not to flood the whole earth again. And also verse 30. And in the breastplate of judgment you shall put the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. Thus Aaron shall bear the judgment of the people of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. For me, the key points is that he's bearing it in his heart, and it's all of the judgment that is born, that is upon the children of Israel. He bears it, and he bears it continually. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. Give me your burdens, and I will give you rest. The purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ, at least one of them. But the breastplate is also called other things. We look at Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 and 17. He saw that there was no man and wondered, that there was no one to intervene. Then his own arm brought him victory and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. So righteousness now is connected to the breastplate. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. Breastplate of righteousness on us is what the writer to the Ephesians is saying. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, 8, it is referred to as the breastplate of faith and love. So we have what I see as the rainbow and the judgment connected together. And there are several perspectives. One is an earthly one, our perspective, as we see the rainbow and its colors and what they may or may not represent, and the heavenly perspective. And in 1 Peter, where we read this morning, that's the heavenly perspective. That's what the rainbow is meant for us to be. It's meant for us to be a reminder of what we need to change into. It is a reminder that as the light of the Father shines through the Son, okay, and creates this rainbow. The light of the Father, the Son, shines through us and creates this rainbow of characteristics, which if we apply them, there's no fear of judgment. Am I saying there's not going to be a judgment? No, absolutely is. There has been, and it's been going on now, present, past, and it will be in the future. And there are different types of judgments. And I'm going to just connect the colors with some possible types of judgments, but you know what? It's purely random from my perspective, because I don't know that from God's perspective. So bear with me, with my randomness, if you will. So first of all, just a quick overview. The first color is red. Flesh, blood, fire. That's what comes to my mind. Anybody else? The color red comes to your mind?
Danger.
Okay. Orange. Bronze. Sun. Sin. Yeah, no, you're going to go scratch. It's okay, you can scratch your head. It's okay, I did that too. Yellow, gold, greed. It's a human number. Green, herb, food, tree, natural. Blue, heavenly, presence, water, spirit. Indigo, which is one of the shades of purple. They call it indigo. I'm not sure if that's the right name for it, but the Father's will, his purpose, his way, Christ, why, consequences, raised. Violet, justice, righteousness, mercy, Christ the judge. So let's go into it a little bit further. So red, fire, flesh, dragon, sin. Genesis 4:10. And we also know Adam. Adam's name means kind of red because it was sort of reddish type soil that he was made from. But that's the name for the man, red. So it's a human. It's connected to humanness. So chapter 4, verse 10. And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." So the shedding of blood, which we know required the shedding of blood for the salvation to be complete and to be just in the eyes of the Father. And of course we know it was the blood of Christ that needed to be shed. Genesis chapter 9, verses 4 through 6. "Only you shall not eat the flesh with its life, that is, its blood. For your lifeblood I will surely require a reckoning. Of every beast I will require it, and of man. And every man's brother I will require the life of a man. Whoever sheds the blood of a man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image." Matthew chapter 23. Verses 29 through 35. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, saying, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets.' Thus you witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you brood of vipers. How are you to escape being sentenced to Gehenna? Therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of innocent Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly I say to you, all this will come upon this generation." So that's quite a judgment. Judgment of blood. Orange. I call the red sin. I call orange the body through which sin came. We're kind of orangish looking. Especially we get these nice bronze looking tans. We get the tanning salons, you know. That's not leaving you out, girl. You just happen to be in the sun more often. Huh? What can I say? Any rate, it's through the body. We are the instruments of sin, in other words. If there was no body, there could be no sin. Am I right? Sin doesn't exist without a human being, is what I'm trying to say. Okay? So it's through us. Okay? Again, I said, the colors are purely random. You know, I haven't worked every detail out. Okay? But that's because I'm not that kind of thinker. Okay? So I'm putting the ideas out there for you. At any rate, we see in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, "Let no one say when he's tempted, 'I'm tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. And the desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Mark chapter 7. Verse 18, "And he said to them," Mark 7:18, "Then are you without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into man from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart but his stomach, and so passes on? Thus he declared all foods clean. He said, 'What comes out of a man is what defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, fornications, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceitfulness, licentiousness, every slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile of man.'" And sin, we know, is one reason for judgment. The Lord, the Father of all, had to establish his righteousness in the matter of when sin entered the world. And none of us escapes that, because it comes from within. We are the agents of sin. The pride of life, lust of the eyes, good for food. All these things connected to sin. So, it's bronze. It's orange. Maybe I'm all wet on that one. I don't know. But that's what it is for right now. Yellow. What's interesting about yellow is that the Hebrew word for it is a number, and its number is 669. It's the number for gold. Human number, as we're told in Revelation, 666. So yellow I call how we judge by the outward appearance. It's when people take bribes. We use money to influence. It's the color of cowardness. It's the color that was used to isolate the Jews, to denote genocide. It's the color of power and wealth, dominance. in Leviticus, yellow was connected to a leprosy, which the priest was supposed to look at. So let's look at Leviticus 13:30. So most elsewhere it's translated gold, but here it's actually translated the yellow, because I guess that's the color that it looked like. Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 30. When a man or a woman has a disease on the head or the beard, the priest shall examine the disease, and if it appears deeper than the skin and the hair in it is yellow and thin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is an itch, a leprosy of the head or the beard. So what do you call it? A dandruff? You got a beard and you got a, on the head and you're itching. And your hair's kind of yellowish. You had to be isolated. So is that the way kind of greed works? Makes you want more. The conclusion for Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:9, is fairly straightforward. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, 1 Timothy 9-10, 1 Timothy 6:9-10. For the love of money is the root of all evils. It is through that craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced their hearts with many pangs. Green. Green is what I call natural, or the judgment of consequences. They're the judgments over which you have no choice. For example, time and chance happen to all. If a tsunami comes to the shores of, where was it? Japan? Again, it's time and chance. Everything in its season. But not everything without its reason. I think this is one of the things that the world doesn't quite understand. These acts that we would call random acts of the way the earth works, okay, we must understand that, first of all, God made the earth and knows and understands its workings, okay, and uses the earth. So it is not without reason. It is not without reason. Everything in its time, everything in its season, but it is never without reason. It is never random. God doesn't dole out random acts of violence. God does not dole out random acts of kindness either. Everything is done for a purpose. And if you don't believe me, let me just go quickly over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which is where we get the thought about everything happening in its time, in its season. But a lot of times we don't know if there's a reason for it. We suspect there might be a reason, and we hope there's a reason. And a lot of times we may truthfully say we don't know the reason, but it is for a purpose. And if I can just find Ecclesiastes here, we'll get through. There we go. So chapter 3, we have the first part of the chapter, which is everything happens in its time and in its season. But here he gives us a reason. Verse 11, starting with verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also put eternity into man's mind, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. So if God has done something from beginning to end, he knows its beginning and its end, and he knows its reason. He knows its purpose. So he says, because the wise man here, Solomon, may not have understood what the reason or the purpose was to begin with. He says, I know there's nothing better for them than to be happy, to enjoy themselves as long as they live. And also that it is God's gift to man that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. But know this, I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has made it so, and here's the reason, in order that men should fear before him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away. That's an interesting phrase, that last part. It really means that he's searching, and what the other part, what has been driven away, the slightest eye blink of someone's faith. So you look at the time of the flood, and no one except Noah. Okay, when you think of the perspective of the universe and eternity, Noah was an eye wink of a faithful man. And God is looking for just even that little bit in order to bring about salvation. Okay? Green, again, is natural. It also has to do with consequences. If we make choices, if we drive on the right side, is it the right side in England or the left side? Which side should be the right side that we should be driving on?
Left.
So, right. So if I drive on the left side, right? No, if I drive on the right side, I'm making a choice of getting into trouble, right? Yeah. Okay. So there are natural consequences that are going to happen as a result of the choices we make. Both random acts. Come on, who should have stopped me on that one? No, there are no random acts from God. Acts of God can be stopped. And even the natural consequences of our actions can be stopped by God. Look at Nineveh. There was a judgment that was going to come upon Nineveh. There was no doubt about that judgment. Something happened. They repented. That judgment was stopped. Now, I mean, what if that judgment came in the form of a volcano that was about to erupt? That means the Almighty stopped that from happening. Okay. So, yes, it can be stopped. Okay. Blue. Water. Life. Necessary for life, necessary for salvation. Baptism. We know in Acts chapter 8, verses 34 through 38, the eunuch who's reading the chapter in Isaiah says, who is this about? What's to prevent me from being baptized? Water's there, it's necessary. The former and latter rain were acts of judgment. If that rain did not come, it was an act of judgment. We know that in Zechariah, in the kingdom, those nations that do not go up year for year to worship the Lord and to obey and listen, our rain is one of the acts of judgment. They will have no rain. And we know that for Sodom and Gomorrah, okay, in this case, when I say blue, it's also angelic because angels carry out the judgments. And we see that for Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay. So, in the next color is purple or indigo, or a shade of that. So, what's interesting, I came from the Catholic Church. During the time of Lent and during the time of Easter, or prior to Easter, they cover the crucifix in a shroud of purple. So interesting how they made that connection. But they're usually pretty good and pretty accurate about those kinds of things because they're very, very astute about details. Especially when you looked at the garments of the priests, were very much close to the garments of the priests in the Hebrew. So death, the Father's will, purple, which is right next to it, Jesus became our righteousness, he conquered sin, he was raised. All scripture was fulfilled in him. Now here's interesting information from Exodus. The people gave the gifts of the covenant of the rainbow. These gifts came from the people. Take a look at Exodus chapter 25. And verses 1 through 9. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel that they take for me an offering from every man whose heart makes him willing. You shall receive the offering for me. And this is the offering which you receive from them, gold, silver, bronze, blue and purple and scarlet stuff and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tan skins, goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the lamp, spices for the anointing, for the fragrant incense, onyx stones, stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastplate. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst, according to all that I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and all its furniture, so you shall make it." So here the people are willingly giving all of the things that are going to make up that tabernacle, which, by the way, I think its fabric looked like this. Blue, scarlet, gold, fine twined linen. I don't think the fine twined linen was colorless. And I think it created the rainbow. And that's what they were to see. And they were able to see that from the outside when they looked at the tabernacle. Okay? Exodus 35. Verses 20 through 29. Then all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of the Lord, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's offering to be used for the tent of meeting, and for all its service, and for the holy garments. So they came, both men and women, all who were of willing heart, brought brooches, earrings, signet rings, armlets, all sorts of gold objects, every man dedicating an offering of gold to the Lord, every man with whom was found blue or purple or scarlet stuff or fine linen or goat's hair, tan ram skins, goat skins brought them. Everyone who could make an offering of silver or bronze brought it to the Lord, to the Lord's offering. Every man with whom was found acacia wood of any use within the work brought it, and all the women who had ability spun with their hands and brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet stuff and fine twined linen. All the women whose hearts were moved with ability spun the goat's hair, and the leaders brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and spices and oil for the light, for the anointing oil, for the fragrant incense. All the men and women, the people of Israel, whose heart moved them to bring anything for the work which the Lord commanded by Moses to be done, brought it in their freewill offering to the Lord. It all came from the heart. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness, with a loud voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them upon two tables of stone and gave them to me. And when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire,
You came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and all your elders, and you said, Behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness, and we have heard his voice. Out of the midst of the fire we have this day seen God speak with man, and man still live. Now therefore, why should we die? I'll stop there for a minute. Didn't they just say, we've seen God and lived? Why all of they are concerned about dying? For this great fire will consume us. That's why. At least that's the way they felt. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fires we have and has still lived? Go near and hear all that the Lord our God will say, and speak to us all that the Lord our God will speak to you, and we will hear and do it. Now look at what Moses says. The Lord heard your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They have rightly said all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a mind as this always, to fear me, to keep my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their children forever. That wasn't an expression of a consuming God. That was an expression of a God who's joyful at the humbling of his people, knowing the result was going to be that they would obey him. And that result came in their offering willingly all the things that were needed for the temple. From the heart, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 14. For this command which I command you this day is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, Who will go up for heaven for us to heaven and bring it down to us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. You see, what the Father's saying is, you've already done it. You came to me with a willing heart, and you gave everything that needed was necessary for the building of the tabernacle that was going to be in the wilderness, a place for me to dwell. You already did it. It was based upon your heart. Judgment and rainbow. Now, we're going to get into the types of judgment. Okay? So you're going to help me here, okay? Because if you sit here too long, you're going to go to sleep. I know if I was out there, I'd be asleep now. Slight on the person who's speaking. Okay? But we talk about types of judgment. We're going to talk about, I'll give you an example to start with, and then I want you to raise your hand and you say it, and I'll repeat it for the sake of the recording. Okay? Because as I said, I'm not the one that's perfect up here. You all have a lot of information as well. So here's one type of judgment. I call it the Haman judgment. Okay, the Haman judgment is the judgment that says, I've got it out for Randy, and I'm going to make sure that Randy pays for whatever it is, and I'm going to build a trap, and he's going to suffer, and he's going to be just eliminated from the scene. Okay? And whatever motivates that, my hatred probably of Randy, and it's like, okay. And then all of a sudden, whatever I had planned turns around and comes on me. Okay? That's what I call the Haman judgment, right? In Esther, wasn't it? He planned to hang Mordecai. And who got hung? Haman did. So the very thing. The Proverbs calls it, the evil man digs a ditch and falls into it. Okay? All right? In some cultures, they may call that karma. You know, whatever. At any rate, so that's one type of judgment, okay?
It's a human judgment that's made usually based upon your feelings about another person, and you're trying to take action, and it comes back on you. Okay? All right. What's another one?
Ignorance.
What?
Ignorance.
Okay, explain.
Like judging
someone or oh, judging by appearance only. Good, yes. Okay, so yeah, you make a judgment based upon what somebody wears or the way somebody looks. Okay? And based upon that judgment, you now evaluate that individual, and your actions are now going to be changed toward that person based upon your judgment. Okay? I remember it was back at Davis, an old psychology class, and they had a cartoon of a hippie with, you know, long beard and everything, and he was sitting across from an old man with gray hair and everything, and you know, they just weren't getting along, you know, and they had a little thing, you know, kind of like their view of what the other person was like, you know, and you could see it was not favorable on either side, okay, but both cases were making judgments in that case, so based upon appearance, that's very correct, okay. We do judge based on appearance. Okay, what else? What's another kind? Yes, Peter. By your standard of measure. Explain to me, please. You measure twice and cut once. Isn't that cheating? That's a carpenter's expression. Please, I'm not a carpenter. Help me. Oh, okay. So how you judge is how you will be judged. Okay, so if I'm... we have the example of the servant who was forgiven much and then went around and tried to collect from everybody. Okay, yes, exactly, right. So if you judge and you judge harshly, that is how you will be judged, okay? Okay, all right, good. What's another one? Yes. Okay, and what is a righteous judgment? Example. Okay, someone said it has to come from... comes from God. Okay, because he's the only one that really can determine who's righteous or not. You're right, exactly. So a righteous judgment really can only come from God, okay? And we know that the Father has given all judgments unto Christ. And we know... that the God of all the earth will judge right. Okay? We know that. So, yes, righteous judgment comes from God. Okay? What's another kind? Yes, Randy. The judgment of forgiveness. Okay? So, mercy. Okay? So, mercy, okay, is a type of judgment. In other words, to choose to show mercy rather than to choose to give you what you deserve. Okay, all right. Hypocrisy. Okay, explain. Do as I say, not as I... Okay. So, I know. I'm trying to... How is that a judgment? I'm trying to understand how that's a judgment. It's what? Okay, kind of like I'm better than you. Okay, so judging others lesser than yourself, and I'm better than you are. And I've made sure that I'm better than you are because I've given you burdens that you can't even carry. Okay. Well, what about some of the bigger judgments that we normally think of when we talk about judgments? Discernment, yeah, I mean, that's mean. It takes discernment, yes. It takes wisdom. What? I'm sorry. Okay. Don't we have a judgment at the end? Isn't there a judgment at the end? Yes? Well, that's a big judgment, isn't it?
Death sentence.
Huh?
Death sentence.
death sentence. Yes, that's a judgment. We all have that, don't we? No one is escaping that one. Okay. Yes, that was a judgment, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why we're here. Because we don't want to go that way. We don't want to be in that death sentence. Okay. Yes, absolutely. That's a big one. Yes?
Deferred?
Yes. I would call that mercy. I would call that compassion. God choosing to give you life so that you may choose life rather than death or have that opportunity. But yes, I mean, that the judgment of the death of Adam and Eve was deferred. It didn't happen right away, at least on a physical plane. Yeah. We talked about the natural kind of causes, judgments. But what we are talking about, definitely we're going to get into the judgment at the end of the world. Okay? And the other judgment is your own personal judgment. You. Me. Not what I think about Mark and what's going to happen to him, but me facing the judge. See, a lot of times we think, and the judgment is going to be a big thing. There's no question about it, because it will establish finally to the world, okay? And it is a message to the world that God has been right all along, okay? And that's going to come across. You're going to see yourselves cast out of the kingdom, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and others will be there, but you are going to see yourself being thrown out, okay? It's a message. It's a message to the world, okay? And it's going to happen. It's going to happen at the end, okay? It's been happening. It's been happening. I believe that God judges rulers, and because we know he puts rulers in power. I believe he judges the quality of their rulership. I think it gives people opportunity to do the right thing, even Hitler. Just as much as the Egyptian Pharaoh was given the opportunity to do the right thing. Okay. And remember, the Egyptian Pharaoh had already committed genocide, right? He had already committed genocide. So in terms of Hitler, he's not any different. Okay. In fact, you might think he's worse, because he killed babies. Okay. But yeah, it's a question, what's worse? You know, one evil is worse. No, they're both bad. But they made those choices. Okay? Hitler was actually a very religious person in his own right. He felt he was doing the right thing. Okay? But obviously it was not. He overstepped his bounds. Okay? Like the king of Babylon overstepped his bounds. God dealt with him. Okay? But he gives people opportunity, so even rulers. Okay, you've got the big judgment. We call it the judgment seat of Christ. You've got the judgment that's going to affect you personally, and I think that should be our number one concern. Because if we make that our number one concern, we're going to be very different people. At least we hope we will be. Okay, not perfect people. I didn't say perfect. We're going to be different people. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be different than what we naturally are. Right? We're supposed to have Christ in us, which is supposed to be different people. Right? Okay. Now, are we good? Yeah, let's do the hymn. Yeah, we'll stop there for now. Again, just think about these. Don't fret about it. If you didn't get any of this, it's okay. It'll come together. But just, it's really meant for you to start thinking. Okay? Yes? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. No, it's a judgment because it has to do with the justice of God. I understand. But there's also blessings on the just and the unjust. So, No, it has to do with the justice of God and with death being required, even of the Lord Jesus.
Death not necessarily the end.
No. I'm not saying it was the end. I just said it was a judgment. God is the one who chose to pass that sentence. He's the one that said, if you eat, you will die. That's not collateral damage in the way that we think of collateral damage. Well, I will defer on this one, and I'll think about it, but it has to do with his justice and his wisdom. Yeah. No, I'm not. That's coming. Yeah, that's coming. Okay, so hymn 325.